All right, we're in the book of Revelation, and we have covered chapters 1, and chapter 1 is about, that's right, because if you don't cover chapter 1, and if you don't understand chapter 1, and if you don't get chapter 1, there's no need to go to 2, 3, 4, 5, and not right on to 22, right? Because if you don't see Christ in His position, you'll never understand any of the rest of it. Because it's His revelation, it's His return that this is all about. And then in chapter 2 and 3 was about the church age. And we said that the church age is twofold. What is that? It's what? Yes, it's historical and it's prophetical. Yes, which means that these were literal churches with literal people, that a message was given to them. But we said that that message transcends time, which means that the message to Ephesus and the other churches comes to Liberty Fellowship Church. And you are a member of one of those churches. Without any doubt. You just have to figure out which one you're in and which one you want to be in. And so he talks about the seven churches. And then he talks about them in a prophetic way. It's the church age. It's the church age. And so when you get to Laodicea, where are you? You're at the end of the church age. Well, what happens next? Well, we're out of here. We're out of here. Now, I know that there's some that teach, and I don't fault them for it. They could be right. They could be right. There's a lot of things, you know, that I don't teach. And the reason I don't teach it is because, you know, if I can't take the Word of God and show you right here it is, I don't teach it. I may mention it. I may say I have an opinion. But if you've been with me a long time, you know I say this is my opinion. So I know there's some people that say when we get to chapter 4 that it's a type of the rapture. Because John is told something. He says, and after these things, after what things? Huh? After the glorified Christ vision, after the church age, John is got something else told to him. He says, and after these things, after what I've just seen, I saw a door opened. Now, listen, you remember the church at Philadelphia? What was said to them? I have set before you this day an open door, and no one can shut it. Close it, shut it, same thing, huh? It's okay. They're synonymous. That's okay. And so John says he looked and he saw a door open in heaven. And this is my favorite part. And the first voice. I don't know about you. I tell you, it starts at my feet and it runs up my, you know, that who was that guy said he got cold chills running up his leg or something over a politician? Listen, the voice. He said, and the first voice I heard was it were a trumpet. That reminds you of anything? Huh? What'd that remind you of, John, since you said yes? Jesus. Huh?
The king.
Well, but I'm talking about a verse that we've already covered. You remember John was on the Isle of Patmos and he said, and I heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet. And I turned to see the voice, and I saw seven golden candlesticks and the Son of Man standing in the midst. Now, you know, candlesticks don't talk. So I guess the voice was from the one standing in the middle. And that was who? That was the glorified Christ, the Son of God. Well, here it's different. Here it's different. Because he says, I turned and I heard this voice. The first voice that I heard was as it were a trumpet, which said unto me, come up here. You ain't getting nothing there? Huh? You know, in the next 5 minutes, bless God, we could hear the voice as of a trumpet saying, come up here. Huh? Huh? Listen. He says, come up here and I will show you the things which must be your after. Two words there stick out to me. I don't know about you. Must and hereafter. Now, give me another word for hereafter.
Future.
Huh?
Future.
Future. So he says, come up here. So what does that tell you? Now, I'm going to leave here in just a second. You better get with me because I'm going to leave out of here and we're going somewhere else. What does that tell you? Well, I'm going somewhere. Anybody want to talk to me? I'm going right over here. She wants to talk to me. What does that tell you?
That we're invited?
Well, no, honey. Listen, if you want to know about your future, huh? Where did he tell him to come up to? Bless God, heaven. If you want to know about your future, you're going to have to get heaven's view. You're not going to get it from earth's view. Earth don't have a view of the future. That's called prognostications. They don't always turn out right. That's called prophecy. If it's from God, it always turns out right. If it's from a false prophet, you just heard that Wednesday night, it don't turn out right. But when you get heaven's view of the future, it's all going to be right. And that's why he said, now John, I've told you, I've shown you the glorified Son. I've told you about the church ages and the letters we wrote to them. And now I'm going to show you the future. Come up here. So if we're going to look to the future, that means we have to get a view from, starts with an E, the next letter's T. Next letter's E. Eternity. Because you see, eternity, well, it's not only forever, hey? It's always in the present. That's why he says, I am. He's the great I am because he's always in the present. Remember what he said? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Well, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, when he was saying that, he was talking about, I'm going to go to Calvary. I'm going to pay the sacrifice. I'm going to take the sacrifice back to the Father. He's going to receive the sacrifice. That's what he means. I go to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, and that word if, you know, it's sort of rhetorical. I'm going. And God's going to accept this. And he says, and if I go and prepare you a place, I will
come again.
I will
come again.
And
receive you unto myself. You're there maybe also.
Well, you got that little twisted, but that's okay. You're doing good. You're just trying to go too fast. You give her a message, didn't you? I knew that I could count on Stacy. I knew they wouldn't leave that house till they'd taken that medicine. See, because she struggled last week, and she's my sister, and I got to have her sharp. He says, that were. Well, where's heaven, honey?
Where we're going.
Where he is. You see, we ain't going nowhere, folks. We're going, and then we're coming. We're not going to be up there just floating around in space. We're going to be right here on a new earth. That's where we're going to be. Because he said, I'm going to make a new one. I'm going to make a new earth for new people. And it ain't going to have all this junk and curse and I started to cuss. Well, I can't help it. He says, you're not going to have all of that. There's not going to be tears. There's not going to be a friend that you find out about and they say they've got 3 months to live. That won't be, because this curse is going to be gone, folks. This curse is going to be gone. that where I am, there you may be also. And listen, where he's at, there ain't no curse. There ain't no curse where he is. So, if you would, let's just go back and see it all starting. How you say? You like that? Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, you say, Tom, can you ever just cover the chapter? No. Listen, I do it my way. That's how I do it. Are you there? All right. Now, what's the first three words? That's how it all started, folks. In the beginning means this is how it all began. Right? And how did it all begin? God. See, that's why I say God is eternal. Which means now we're not looking back at the past through God's eyes. We're looking back at the past through God's word. God was in this present. We weren't, right? You would agree with that, right? So he says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That ought to solve it. That ought to settle it. We ought not to have all this debate over saving something. We ought to say, well, God made this. Well, let's see how he made it. This is amazing. Remember now, what was the first thing that John heard? Well, let's see if we hear the voice. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God. File that now, you're going to see it. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What does that tell you? Everything was water. Everything above. Everything beneath. It was all water. I don't understand that. But that's how it was. So he says, and God said, you want to know? If you want to know whether your salvation's safe or not, you just listen. And God said, let there be light. And things started moving. Days went by as the light started approaching. Billions of years took place as this thing started forming. The darkness started dissipating. And it became, no. He said, let there be. And blessed God there was. You say, Tom, what's that mean? It's tough for me, I don't care to tell you. That meant when I sat in darkness at that red light in Winter Park, Florida, bless God. And he said, if you'll call on me, I'll save you. But if you go through that light, you're done. I said, Lord, save me. And he said, it's done. He said, let there be a new Tom. And there was a new Tom. See, salvation, folks, is just like the light. That quick. It's not a process. It's not you going to the altar and trying to pray through, bless God. It's about you making your mind up before you head for the altar. And guess what? By the time you get there, you're one of his children. All you're doing then is confessing, oh God, I'm a sinner. That's all. Because it's instantaneous. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was. What's that mean? What's that mean? God saw the light that it was good. Huh? Well, I'll tell you. Y'all like me to tell you, don't you? There was no curse on it, Jimmy. It was pure light. There was no sin yet. This light was good. What's wrong with the light today, folks? It's cursed. It's cursed. There's no good light now. It's all cursed. So what do we need? We need good light again. Well, we're not going to get it here. The earth is cursed. The people on the earth is cursed. The heavens are cursed. The sun's cursed. The stars cursed. The moon's cursed. It's all cursed. And we're not going to get back here till God says something again. And he'll say that at the end of Revelation when he says, "Behold, I make a new heaven and new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth are passed away." So he says, "And it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day." You thought man invented day. No, God invented day. Follow this. This is better than good. "And the darkness he called." Well, let me ask you something. Does it still get dark at night? Does it get light during the day? Well, we got, in most places, I realize Alaska's a little different, but in most places, you got 12 of each because it's 24 hours. So he says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was at his word." It's so. Folks, that's who God is. We have so perverted who God is. Even so-called, quote-unquote, Christians, bless God, have perverted who God is. God's the one that speaks and it happens. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," well, that's his word. You trust it and bless God, see how quick it happens. "And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament the most lost scientist in the world. If you ask him what's above the earth, he'll say the heaven. How many heavens are there? Huh? There's three. Two of them's cursed, folks. Now look, I don't know how far out that second heaven goes. I saw the other day where they saw another planet out there. And they act like they've discovered money. They got no idea what's out there. You know why? Because they ain't never been out there. Well, we look through a telescope. That'd be like me looking through a telescope from my house to Jimmy Buckle's house and say, "Well, I see what's going on out there." That's how foolish that is, folks. They got no idea, nor will they recognize how big God is. And if we don't know where the second heaven ends, bless God, we'll never figure out where the third one starts. But I don't have to figure it out. I'll show you in a minute. Oh, this gets good. Now you stay with me. You think I ramble, but I don't. I don't. "And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second." Now, I know that people say, "Well, Tom, that don't necessarily mean it's a 24-hour day. That just means there was a time span when all this took place. It could have took millions of years." No, he's done said that one was called day, that was when it was light, and one's called night, and day and night make up one day, 24 hours. Book it. In 24 hours, he's doing this. Things which say the scientists, the mad scientists, the lost scientists that say it. Listen, you show me a sign, and I don't know. I enjoyed that thing Dan did sometimes. Did y'all see that where he talked about creation and stuff, and it was from a saved man's perspective? Boy, the magnitude of God and everything. I mean, it was something. It was something. But even that doesn't come close, folks. You'll have no idea until you have an idea what God's capable of. And so he says, and God called firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto, and let the dry land appear. And now, I don't know if y'all heard about, now we've got aliens. Well, we do. They're not in a flying saucer. They're demons. See, they don't understand. The devil is over the power of the air, folks. His demons is going everywhere. I wouldn't doubt very seriously if it wasn't them demons they're seeing. But they won't believe that. We got to have somebody from outer space. What outer space? What planet they find? Well, we haven't figured that out yet. No. There's Earth. There's mankind. That's all there is. Well, Tom, you don't know that. I'll show you I know that. I'll show you I know that. I don't make this stuff up. And he says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land. What do we dwell on? And we're going to dwell here, bless God, until God does away with the earth. Behold, I make a new heaven and a new earth. Same thing, because mankind was made to dwell on the earth. And unless God changes that, that's how it is. That simple. He says, and the gathering together of the waters called he. Now we see something that in Revelation, God does change. Because he says, and there was no need for more seas. There was no more seas. Why do we have seas? Well, it's part of the ecological system, right? Huh? Okay, well, follow me now. I'll show you. This makes a whole lot of sense for you. Just stay with me. It's part of the ecological system. In other words, you know, the sun draws the water up. Gets into the clouds, comes over here, rains on you. Rains on you. That's part of the system. But there's something else. It divides mankind. I mean, nations are different, folks. Nationalities are different. It's to divide people that are different. Well, the reason there'll be no need of any sea, first of all, we won't need an ecological system. I'll show you in just a second. Listen, just stay with me. I know I sound like a mad scientist, but I'm really a mad teacher. We won't need the ecological system. And we won't need to be divided, folks. We'll be one. There won't be nationalities. There'll be no male nor female. There'll be no Greek or Jew. We'll be one in Christ Jesus. And bless God, there won't be any need to separate us. Because we'll all be one family. So he says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was, what does that mean? No curse. Just as pure as the driven snow. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit seed. Tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was. So which come first, chicken or the egg? Huh? You sure about that? Which come first, the fruit tree or the seed? Well, I can tell you. The fruit tree. You say, well, Tom, how do you get a fruit tree without a seed? God said, let there be. And he said, now here's the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to create this tree here. This apple tree. I'm going to create this apple tree. But I'm not going to create this apple tree, because if I didn't create something different, it'd just be this apple tree. And that'd be it. We'd just have one apple tree. He says, no, I'm going to put the seed within the tree that I create, so that that tree produces more. Just like man. God put the seed in mankind so that there was just not one mankind, Same thing with all his creation. God intended this thing to be perfect, folks. That was his intent. And then he says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself and after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the... And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day by the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Well, there's climate change. I'm a dying 1 minute if that ain't climate change. I'm gonna make it so that it's not summer all year long and you don't burn up. I'm gonna make it so it's not winter all year long and you don't freeze to death. I'm gonna make sure it's fall. I'm gonna make sure there's a spring. In other words, after the winter and after everything looks dead, I'm gonna make it so we've got a time where everything springs to life. You know when it's gonna change? When God changes it. When God changes. Listen, I realize it's been hot. I do. It's been hot. Man, it's been hot. Raise your hand if you think it's been hot. Well, now this is for you older folks. And I look nowhere. When you were growing up, do you ever remember it being hot? And saying, whew, man, I tell you what, August is hot. It's never changed, folks. It's just these people that refuse God want to be their own gods. And they've come up with the fact that they can change this thing. Well, I don't think you can, because God said it. And God ain't changed, has he? Do we still have four seasons? What did he say here? I'm going to let them be for signs, in other words, tokens, so that you know, and for well, last time I checked, well, we had a little confusion this morning, I will say. You know, August has certain days in it, and people have certain birthdays in August. But we were thinking it was July, and we wondered where the people in August were, because we thought the days it showed was July, and we got confused, which is not hard for me. I get confused. But, folks, if the Lord allows it, when you wake up in the morning, it'll be Monday. And the next day will be Tuesday. And the next day will be Wednesday. And Thursday. And Friday. And Saturday. And Sunday. It'll start all over again because God said this is what it's going to be. There are going to be days and years. Days and years. Last time I checked, and I could be wrong, we're in the year 2023. And if God permits, January the 1st will be 2024, the year. Because God said that's how it's going to be. You say, Tom, what point are you trying to make? When God said you're saved, you're saved. When God says you're lost, you're lost. And there's no one that can change that. No one can undo what God has done. Not man in his foolishness, man in his wisdom. The Bible says this, that man's wisdom is foolishness with God. It says this. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. We even sing a song. Well, the sun's coming up in the morning. And then we sing another song. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Y'all didn't think I could do bluegrass, did you? Why do they make songs about the sun and the moon? Because the sun and the moon's going to always be there. Until God changes it, the sun and the moon's going to be there. We have different moons, right? We got quarter moons, half moons, three quarter moons. and full moon. Well, last time I checked, that's four. How many seasons we got? Last time I checked, we got four. That's not going to change, folks. I'm just trying to get you to see who said, come on up. You'll say, in just a second, you're going to get this. You're going to get it in just a second. I better hurry. This is so good. I can't get out of my own way sometimes. And even one more, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly by the moving creatures that hath life and fowl that must fly above. And God created great whales and every living creature that moved with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, after winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good. I'll tell you what, you ask anybody that fishes in the sea, they ain't fishing for birds. They're fishing for fish. And you don't go duck hunting with a fishing pole, because they're the fowls of the air and they fly. That's how God made them, and that's how it is. It's how he made it. It's not going to change. In fact, one day, God is going to speak to the fowls of the air. You say, oh, you can't talk to the fowls of the air. I know you can't. I can't either. But the Adam can. And he's going to say, come and gather yourselves together for the great supper of God. Here's what that means. I was driving to Virginia yesterday with my little wife, and we were going up the road, and boy, these big old vultures. I mean, these huge vultures. Well, they wasn't looking up. He's looking down. I said, honey, it ain't good for something. Something dead. Why? Because the vultures eat dead stuff. Well, when he calls them to the great feast, to the great supper of God, what does he call them to? Dead bodies. We're going to see it. It's here. It's in here. You're going to see it. Maybe not. Well, you won't see it today. I don't know when you'll see it. But you'll see it. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the season and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning was the fifth day. Now we come to the final day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his cattle and creeping things, the beast of the earth, fowl that. You'll see it. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God said, let us make man in our image. God made man the same day he made every other beast. And if you think of it that way, man is no more than a beast from heaven's view. Oh, from earth's view, man... Well, I'll tell you what, that's one of the greatest men I knew. Did you ever notice that? I mean, they're scoundrels, corrupt as they can be. But as soon as they die, well, I just can't tell you how many good things he or she's done. Because that's earth's view. Well, folks, if you want the correct view, you're going to have to get it from heaven's view. God says we're just beasts. No more, no less. The only difference from us and a beast in Africa is we were made in the image of God. And we can outthink any lion in the savannah. We can outthink any elephant that has the longest memory of any creature. Did you know that? I mean, you treat an animal, an elephant bad, if he sees you 5 years later, you can Google this, I don't care. He'll remember you. But there ain't a beast in the field that can think like we do. God made us in his image, and it was so. And then he said, it's not good that man should be alone. So he put him to sleep. And he took a rib. There's not a morning goes by, not a morning, God's my witness. That I don't look across from me and say, oh God, thank you for my little wife. She's the greatest blessing you could ever give me. She does everything for me. But that's not by happenstance. That's how God did it. He says, man needs a helpmate. He really. So he put him to sleep. He took a rib and he made woman. And you know what he said at the end of it? It was good. Until it wasn't. Then came sin. Now it's no longer good. Now they can't stay in the presence of God. If this world, if any individual in this world thinks that they're going to be where God is without doing something about their sin, they are sadly and badly mistaken. If God booted these two from the garden, you don't think he's going to let somebody else get in, do you? So he put them out, but not before he covered them. And he put a cherubim at the entrance with flaming swords. You're not going back in. Why? He says, well, here's the problem. He says, they ate of the tree of good and evil. We got to kick them out unless they eat of the tree of. What would that mean, John? What would that mean? If they had sinned against God and eat of the tree of life, what would that mean? No, bless God. That means they're going to live forever in that cursed state. And they could never be in his presence. So he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get them out of here before they do. Well, and I hope you're getting this. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to clothe you first because now you realize you're naked. But he says, one of these days, Satan's going to bruise my heel. But I'm going to bruise his head. I'm going to give you away to come back, Angie. Back to that place that was good. What does that mean, Jimmy? No curse. That's what he said. Where I am, there you may be. But you can't be there until he goes to Calvary. You can't be there until he sheds that blood. You can't be there until he pays the total price. You can't be there. But God, in love, said, but honey, I want you to be there. And I'm going to make a way for you. And I'll not only be your propitiation, I'll be hers and his and his and his and hers and his and anyone. I'll be everyone's propitiation that'll come my way. And then John said this. He says, and I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Aren't you glad that one day you'll see that door? You say, Tom, that you'll see that door. The door's going to open in heaven for you. Why? Because God said so. Just like the creation, he said, let there be and there was. Well, one of these days he's going to say, come up. Come up. You know what you'll do, don't you, Jimmy? Well, let's see what you'll do. I got to read this real quick. Now, I got to get back up. I wanted to go to Ezekiel and show you that Ezekiel is the same. But I cook so much during the week, I can't ever get it to the table. Here's what he says. I'm back in chapter 4. And immediately. Wasn't that what happened when he created everything? He said, let there be and there. Well, he said, John, come up here and I'll show you the things which must be hereafter. And John said, well, I'll be right up. No. John didn't say anything because he said, come up hither. John was up there. He says, and immediately I was in the... You ain't going in the flesh. Flesh and blood doth not inherit the kingdom of God. You ain't going in the flesh. You're going to have to drop this robe of flesh. But I'll tell you what you won't drop. You won't drop the Spirit, bless God. That's why he put him inside you. Huh? That's why he's always with you. Because you don't know, bless God, when the call comes. All that matters is when the call comes, I'm in the Spirit, and bless God, the flesh is gone, I'm gone. That's all you need. And he says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. He says, all of a sudden there I was, and I saw this throne. That's not a myth. God's never left that throne. Do you know where he made everything that I just read to you? From his throne. He didn't have to get up. He just said, let there be. As soon as he says it, it's done. That's who, folks, listen, that's who our God is. That's who our Heavenly Father is. That's who our Savior and Redeemer and King of Kings is. He's on the throne. And one of these days, he's just going to tell you, come on. And as soon as he says it, you may be in a hospital room, I don't know. You may be walking down the street singing do what diddy dum diddy do. I don't know. But I know this. When you hear that voice, bless God, you'll recognize it first of all. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought. Oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I go, where'er I be, still it is God's hand that leadeth me. I had me shouting time coming out the road this morning. I said, oh God, I'm glad you've led me all this way. And I'm glad, bless God, you ain't going to stop leading me till you've led me where you're going to lead me to. I don't know about you, but that's good news. So he says, and I saw a throne, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon jasper, and jasper the diamond, by the way, a girl's best friend. I knew you'd chime in. And a sardine stone. If you've never seen one, it's red. It's blood red. Well, here's a diamond. You know what diamonds do, don't you? That's why they hold them up. Bless God, reflect light. Huh? Yeah, that's why they hold them up. If it's like when I got married, my poor little wife, God love its heart, it didn't get enough carrot to make a salad. But if you've got a bigger boy, it just reflects light. Well, why would it have a reflection of a diamond and red like a sardine stone? What's red? Oh, the blood. The blood will get you there, and the blood will be there when you get there. That's what he's talking about. He says, and there was a rainbow. God put a rainbow in the sky. Yeah, you can go back and read in Genesis. I was going to read to you, but I never get to do what I want to do because I never get where I want to go. I just talk too much. But he says, listen, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And here's my covenant. I will never destroy this earth again with water. And to know, so that you know, to be, I'm going to put my bow, my rainbow up here. It's his, by the way. It's his rainbow. And he says, every time I see that, I'm going to know and I'm going to remember my covenant with you. And this earth will never be destroyed with water. Never. Because God said so. And he says, and I saw a rainbow around as an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. Well, first of all, you got two things going on here. First of all, you got the 20 and four elders. Now that's representative of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Those that were saved. I don't care if they're saved in the Old Testament. I don't care if they're saved in the New Testament. I don't care when they're saved. Bless God, they're going to be seated around the throne because he says, I'm going to make you heirs and joint heirs with me. You're going to rule. Remember he told that church, you're going to rule with a rod of iron. Well, that's who's represented. And then the other reason I know it's representative of us because they're in white raiment. Remember he said, and ye shall be clothed with white raiment. So he says, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. You'll get you a crown of gold, Jimmy. You've been waiting on it, I know. And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thundering voices. There were seven lamps of burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Remember we read that before? That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Remember he says, when he which letteth doth let, when he's taken out of the way, this ain't going to get bad. Well, here it is. Now he's back where he's supposed to be. Remember he said that it was needful for Jesus to go away. Come on in, I got a few more minutes. He said, it's needful that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. Well, the Comforter's been here all this time, convicting and convincing people of their sin. There ain't no convicting and convincing now because the thunder and lightning is judgment. It's all judgment. Now the Holy Spirit's back, there's no need to do it. So he says, the first beast was like a lion, the second beast, the third beast as a man, and the fourth beast, just like he created, remember? The cattle, the beast, the wild beast. He's got the domestic and the wild. Come on in. That's okay. And he says, and man. Remember, he's made man his own. And flying beast. It's all there. And so what you're seeing is seraphims around the throne. And they represent the creation. So you got two things going on. You got the new creation, which is represented by the 24 elders. And you got the creation of God, is represented by the four seraphims. But it's all around the throne because everything that God created is there for one reason. Let's see what it is. I'm going to read fast now. I got two more minutes. I got time. And the four beasts, each of them had six wings. Remember that? Remember in Isaiah? Okay. And they were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, which was and which is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that is on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down. Listen, when the cheerleaders get up and say, glory! You know what happens? All those that are under the blood, all those that God has paid for through his son, all those that are there, they said, come on up, all of them. They're going to fall down and worship him. And they're going to cast their crowns before him. Because you're not worthy of a crown. I'm not worthy of a crown. You've done nothing to warrant a crown except by his mercy and grace. And so when we see him as we're going to see him, and when we know him as we're going to know him, we're going to realize, bless God, he deserves it all. It's all his. I'm wore out.